Well, good morning, Fellowship. It's July 12th, and I don't know about you, but I did not think that we would still be doing virtual services in July, and hopefully these services have continued to meet you where you're at and continue to bring fuel to your soul in worship and in the Word. It's the best we can do with the situation that we've been given, but it's exciting that we're back. And thinking about getting in August, trying to get back into that. And who knows how long this will go. I certainly didn't think we'd be in July still doing this. But in August, we will try to transition and whatever that will look like and how the fall will look as we continue to go forward. And I want to encourage you. I know it's really easy as you go down the menu of our worship menu to over kind of look the giving part of it. But giving is a form of worship. It is a big form of worship, and Jesus talks much about it, that this is worship when we give. And so just remember to continue to give. We're at the end of our budget cycle. We go from August to July each year. August 1st starts our new budget. And so we're finishing strong. So if you haven't given or continue to give, please do so. Also with our new building, if you have not joined in with us, man, this is an exciting thing, and you do not want to be on the outside of that one. So you can call the office, you can jump into our all-in and be part of the new facility as well. And boy, what a joy that is going to be, and the rooms and all the things. So God has just been moving, and it's exciting. And you'll hear more and more of those stories as we go on. But as we go on this morning, you know, it's interesting that when you look at COVID, which is really a new thing for us that has come to us, and you combine that with an old thing that has been around for some time, and that is racial tension, which, you know, has started and with protests and different things, and then it morphed into where I think it truly, to use the words, it got hijacked, and now it's morphed into all kinds of fleshly things and just downright chaos. And you don't really associate COVID and racial tension in the same sentence, but in our passage today, these two things are going to relate. And I think we'll be able to see that. And so we're going to turn to Mark chapter 7, which was already read to us this morning. And as we do so, I wanted to just kind of bring us up to speed because Tyler really set the stage last week and talked about all these cleanliness laws and all the things that the religious leaders were throwing at people to continue to even put a bigger burden on them. And it was really selfish and a power move and all that. But what it truly did is it inhibited people from being able to go into the temple, which is where they would go to worship God, because you couldn't go and be unclean. And if you put more and more stipulations on it, it just inhibited that in their own life. So faithful Jews were highly motivated to do anything they could, even if it meant more stipulations and more laws, they would do it just because the stakes were so high. I mean, you wanted to be able to be in the presence of God and to be able to worship. Now, the whole reason that the laws were given in the first place weren't to throw a burden on people, but to show our need to be spiritually and morally clean before a holy God. And so in that sense, Jesus would agree really with the religious leaders that the fact that we can't come to God and be unclean in his presence. That just can't happen. And this is where our culture bristles at this a little bit, because we look at this and we go, well, surely that isn't right. There's got to be something that we can do. And so to circumvent this, we then have to do one of two things. One is we have to either downplay sin and say that sin isn't that big of a deal and begin to justify certain things that we're doing, or we lower God and we make God more manageable and we bring him down to our level and we'll kind of believe things like, well, God doesn't really take sin that seriously. It isn't that big of a deal. He's more here just to kind of help us live through life and not going to condemn or sin or anything like that. And because God is a God of grace, and we'll cheapen grace, because grace doesn't mean that God overlooks or excuses sin. What grace means is that God takes the full wrath that is deserved of our sin and applies it all on Jesus. Now that's grace. When someone else, Jesus, gets the full wrath of what we deserve. And all of us, in one form or another, try to overcome that gap that we intuitively feel in our lives. Because, and this is why I think we so try so hard. And even after we become a believer in Christ, we can still kind of get on a performance mode. And we'll do so through religious observance, trying to do everything we can, or being benevolent, you know, and thinking, well, that's going to get me more favor before God, or we can even work endlessly, and if I'm just a hard worker and I give off of that, and I do different things, we'll do all these things just to try to perform, or think that somehow I can make God love me even more, or we'll even enter the ministry. Because we think, well, but that'll make God happy, and we'll apply it to anything we do. And so in each of us, there's this sense that we are unclean and we need to justify ourselves. Somehow we need to justify ourselves. Where they went off and where Jesus would completely disagree and was hard on them on this, source of our uncleanliness. What's the source? And so I have a sentence that I want to use this morning in our time, and it's just got two parts to it. Pretty easy sentence, and here it is. Our problem isn't outside in, but rather it's inside out. Our problem isn't outside in, but it's inside out. And so let's start with the first of that. Our problem isn't outside in. Jesus calls the crowd in to come closer, and he says this, "Listen to me, everyone. And understand this, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them." And he says it again in verse 18, the very same thing, when he's with the disciples in a more private scenario. But notice in this verse, he says these three things. Listen to me. Now, Jesus, when he would speak, people would listen. So when Jesus says, listen to me, it is an emphasis. It is like saying, truly, 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 I say to you. In other words, you've got to get this down. Open your ears. Don't zone off on this one. Zero in on me because you got to get this. Listen to me. Then he says, everyone. This isn't just for the religious leaders. This isn't just for the disciples. This is for everyone. This is for you and I. Okay? Listen to me, everyone, and understand. Let this invade both your head, let it move down to your heart, and let this be something that what I'm going to tell you, let this be something that becomes an internal motivation for you in the way that you live out your Christian life. So in essence, what he's saying here is this. Your problem isn't out there. Our problem isn't out there. Our problem is in here. I like how the New Living Translation says that what defiles you comes from your heart. And so the disciples, like the Jews, they really viewed sin as kind of like a germ, like COVID, like a virus, that it's out there somewhere and we don't know really how it spread. There's a lot of different opinions on how it, transfers from person to person. You get all kinds of different reports from the CDC. You get all these things. And so all we know is that we now are all applying, hopefully we're applying, a lot of the things that have been put in place in order to keep us safe because we don't want to get it. Things like wear a mask. Okay, when you cough into your, sleeve and into your elbow. Social distance, sanitize your hands. All these things. Don't touch your face. I mean, these are all things that are now added on, and all of us are going. We are more than willing to do all those or most of those in order the fact that we will not infect others and won't infect our families. And so while in an effort then, translate this over. So think about this in relation to them wanting to be clean before God. They would do anything in order that they wouldn't be inhibited from being in God's presence. Even when it came down to the restrictions of what they could and could not eat. And this is where it got even further down. And Jesus just, he looks at them and says, look, guys, what comes in your mouth and goes down to your stomach can't defile you, because all it does is it just goes through your body and comes out the end. I mean, you can't get any more simple than that. Jesus gives a digestive lesson and says, but what it can't do is it can't really get to where the problem is, and that is your heart. Now, obviously, we don't have these dietary laws today. We don't have to deal with those. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I think there's a danger here, because what we will try to do then with this is we will try to do one of two things. We will become outside performers. This is how it applies really to us. We will be outside performers. In other words, we will expect others to perform the way that we do. We'll do everything we can to make sure that we're doing everything right if we view it's outside. I can't do this. I can do this. And we'll put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and we'll feel like we're performing. And some days we'll feel better and some days will be less, depending on how we perform. So that's one thing that'll do to us. That we will do is we will, if we're looking at an outside in and we think that sin is something out there and the problem is really out there, what we'll do is we'll naturally default into blaming others. It's their fault. It's my circumstances. It's my childhood. It's my parents. It's my employer. It's the events that I have that are going on in my life. It's all these. And this trend, this natural ability we have and tendency to blame others goes all the way back to original sin. It hasn't changed. Adam in the garden, when God came in and said, Adam, where are you? How did Adam respond? He says, well, the woman that you gave me. Again, immediately he's going into looking outside himself. The woman that you gave me, she is the one, and beginning to blaming it on others. And that's the natural tendency when we think that sin is something out there, but it's not in here. This is not where it originates. So I have a couple questions for you. You can take a moment on. And the first one is this: what is it that you look to prove your worthiness? All of us do it. What do we look to other than Jesus to prove that we're worthy? And spiritually, what do you try to do to prove your worthiness to God? You know, what's interesting about outside in is that it will never satisfy. It will never work. It's like the ladder just keeps getting higher and higher and higher, and you can never satisfy it. So we got to go with the second part of the statement, because this is really what the gospel is rooted in. The gospel is rooted in an inside-out theology. Notice Jesus says, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality and theft and murder and adultery and greed and malice and deceit and lewdness and envy and slander and arrogance and folly and all these evils come from inside and defile a person. You know, there was a movie that came out as I was preparing this. I was taken back to the movie, and it was hard to believe it was 5 years ago that it was made. But the movie by Disney called Inside Out, and it was a young Midwestern hockey-loving girl, Riley, whose family was moving to San Francisco. And as they moved to San Francisco, she began to experience these emotions on her inside. And there was joy, which led to sadness, and then there was anger and fear and disgust. And all these were inside things that were coming out. And Disney didn't know it, but they were really telling us about the very nature of the gospel, and that the very core root problem, even in Riley, wasn't the move to San Francisco. It was all these things that she began to feel and how she dealt with them from the inside out. And just as the disciples really viewed sin as a germ, as a virus, something that's out there and out external that affected us, Jesus, on the other hand, says the source isn't external, but it's internal. So sin, according to Jesus, is more like a cancer. It is something that within that begins to erode and begins to eat away, and it is no respecter of persons or age or race. It affects everybody. And we can't avoid it by just avoiding others. I mean, it would be silly to go, I have a sin problem, so I'm going to put on a mask. I'm going to hand sanitize. I'm going to social distance. I'm going to do all those things. That would be silly. Because the root issue of it, Jesus is saying, is on the inside. And so, first and foremost, we have to look internally. And this is something that I've just learned through the years. When it comes to something and I'm sensing some tension, I just got to always look inside first. Even what's going on in the culture, look inside first. And my question is, why is this so important? Why would Jesus say, no, listen, everyone, and understand this. You have to get this down. And I think it's because you and I, we live in a world that we know something's off. We know something's wrong. There's something wrong. Something's not working right. And the world can be a pretty brutal place at times. It can be harsh. And what Jesus is saying is what's wrong is us. We're the problem. It's the evil of the human heart that is the problem. Now, creation and everything else expresses it, and it gets the results and the consequences of it. But we're really the wars and all the things that are going on. It's all because of the evil in our own human heart. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who obviously grew up in Russia, very Russian name, was a poet, a writer, very much against the communist regime. He said something very profound, which relates to this. And he said, the line between good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. In other words, it's the self-centeredness of the human heart, sin, that really is the catalyst of all evil. And Jesus identified some of those things, and of course he didn't list all of them, but he had identified many of them. In fact, Jesus wanted to make this known, that this was such a problem, and he took it so seriously that later in Mark chapter 9, he says, look, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell. Now, Jesus isn't advocating self-mutilation here. Basically, what he's saying, he's simply saying, this is so serious. This is so widespreading. We must first look in our own human hearts. And practically, let's just apply this then to what's going on today in our culture, and that is with racial tension. If we just viewed the racial tension that we're experiencing, if we just viewed it as an external problem, then we would begin to blame others, and we would look for others to blame, which is exactly what's going on. And if there's a hint of racism, even in anyone, no matter how much good they've done, we will label them and we will cast them out and we will judge them. We need to be very careful. We need to be very careful, because if we're just looking at it externally, that's what we'll do. But we need to look at our own hearts and say, where is it within me? Or what we'll do is we'll just merely resort to external things like education or laws or different things. And those are good. Education's good. Good laws are good. You know, not just a bunch of them, but good ones are good that make sure there's equality for all men. But as the old saying goes, you can't legislate morality. You can't legislate it. And what's really going to change even the racial divide that we have is for everyone to look within their own human heart, confess their own sin, their own prejudices, their own self justifications and just get bone down honest with Jesus. And I think this is a game that would be a game changer. Because we will never legislate racism out. And many laws have been passed, and while things have gotten better, you're not going to totally eradicate it until someone comes to know Jesus and has a heart change and understands the equality of the gospel for every human life, no matter what race. And I think this is a game changer. Why you would never see Paul blaming anybody else in the epistles. He would always look within. And this is why I think Paul could even say, look, we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to listen. Let's look within first. Slow to speak. Let's not just emote. And what will happen is we'll be slow to anger. You know, there was a day when, you know, I thought very short-sightedly that even in my ministry and the things that I was doing, that God was working along with me and because of me. That's so short-sighted. And what I realize now, 100%, is that even on my best day, God is working in spite of me rather than because of me. And if it wasn't Jesus in me, then it really wouldn't go anywhere. And on those days when I feel clean and I feel my most spiritual, I have to be careful because I know how easy it is for my heart to be puffed up. And on the days when I don't feel spiritual and I feel kind of unclean, I'm reminded that He took it all and He applied it on the cross so that I could be free. You know, what's interesting, Mark hardly ever makes editorial comments like most of the other Gospels do. But he does in this section that we're looking at today. He makes an editorial comment, and I want to give attention to it because I think it has something significance to it. It's at the end of verse 19, and it's in parentheses, and it's just Mark's comment as he's recording it. And he says, and in Jesus declared all foods clean. And it was right after when Jesus says, look, the food just comes in your mouth, goes in your stomach, you know, his digestive lesson that he gave. And basically just said this very thing. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And the key word there is he declared it. In other words, when Jesus said, look, all those laws and different things, it's not like I said, those are obsolete, those are no longer good, those are kind of things like, oh, we got rid of those now. No, he said the difference by declaring it, what he's saying is I fulfilled them. The purpose of all those was to make sure that you would move towards spiritual purification. I've taken care of that. You are now pure if Jesus is in you, which really brings the beauty and the magnificence and the power of 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf in order that we may have the righteousness of God. God applied his righteousness to us. He imputed his righteousness to us. As believers, we don't need an outside-in approach. We need an inside out. We need to first look inside, which is why Jesus says, listen, everyone, and understand this, both at the head level and the heart level, because when you do, it will be a game changer in your life. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Let's join Dane and Abby as they lead us in that great song, Cornerstone.